This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You look inquisitive, Seth. Do you have a question for me right now?
Am I supposed to get a shingles vaccine now that I'm 50?
I'm greater than 50 and I haven't gotten one yet. I don't know if that's... You know, I'm still dealing with this head cold that I had in Florida. I can't even think about a vaccine right now.
I don't know. I think when you're in your 50s, they recommend you get a shingles vaccine because shingles just blows, apparently.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I have yet to get a prostate exam. So
are you excited?
I'm living in a golden era where they kept pushing the age of the prostate exam back and back, like 2 years before I reach that threshold.
Oh, it's like you're chasing the prostate exam.
Well, now I get the PSA tests and everything, and I don't know. I feel lucky. I feel blessed in that regard.
Yeah.
I'm counting my blessings and not my curses. And there's been so many fewer fingers up my butt than I thought there were going to be by this point in my life, you know?
Yeah. You know, you've lived a good life. You've lived a good life.
I'm going to read that in my obituary.
Yeah.
It's like, if there's one thing Seth was grateful for, is that he lived to just before the age when he was going to have to get a prostate
exam. Of the fingers that went up his butt were sanctioned fingers, yes.
Yeah.
Boy, we're getting a lot of people that got money from our unclaimed property recommendation. It was last week. I was able to find or claim $8,000, someone says, on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. How about this? Dude found money for his dad and his deceased brother. I found money for my dad and his deceased brother and father.
Oh, wow.
So this is his grandfather. There was money in there. So now he gets all three payouts totaling $1,900.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Is he sure that he's the heir to that unclaimed property by his relatives?
Let's be clear.
I feel like that might have to go to the executor, will it not?
Yeah,
I don't want to dole out legal advice.
Yeah, right, exactly right, Seth. I was about to say, this is where we put the PSA or the disclaimer, this is not legal advice.
Yeah,
it's just
a
website where you can go find money that's yours, supposedly.
I'm going to go searching all my dead relatives.
Oh, my God.
Just to piss off my siblings and cousins and claim it.
That's so true.
Claim it for
myself. Yes. So you and I do the mock draft injection every day, and we have yet to come across one. We've been doing it probably for 2 or 3 weeks now this draft season. I like doing it. I think we're definitely needing to add probably other teams in the division or other strange swerve picks that we see in addition to the Texans to keep it fresh for sure. But I like doing it. It's a fun way to frame the draft talk. But as you pointed out, you spent probably more time than you needed to this weekend trying to find a mock draft that doesn't have the Texans taking either O-line, wide receiver, or Kenneth Grant. I'll just say. It's hard to find. And it's because those needs, I think it is sort of an indicator of how acute those needs are. In some ways, we should be thankful that the Texans are no longer one of those teams where they go needs everything. They have very specific needs. If you were to draft at another position, and maybe we can apply some specific names to this, like what position or even a specific name at a position would you be cool with the Texans taking at 25?
Tight end for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Safety is intriguing to me. If they end up feeling like the kid from South Carolina or something, like I would not, I'm trying to think of it. I might want to better think about it as, okay, what would I be upset with? I would not be happy about an offensive tackle, a guy that's an offensive tackle and purely an offensive tackle that can't get moved to guard. I would understand it, and I would get the philosophy behind it, but I would have a hard time getting excited about it. So I don't want them to take a tackle. I don't want them to take a linebacker. I don't want them to take a defensive end. I do not want them to take a running back with number 25. I don't want them to take a quarterback. So everything else is on the board. I would be cool. I'd be cool with a tight end. I'd be cool with a safety or a cornerback, actually, just because there's always room for guys that can play coverage. Cornerback a little less so because, but you know, it's there's times where I don't want Jalen Petrie or Jimmy Ward playing the slot corner, and they don't have a bunch of guys that are great in man, and you're also gonna at some point need a backup. But let's table that until the second round.
The names that pop for me, tight end, I agree with you with, and safety, I agree with you with. I agree with you on Colson Loveland, the tight end from Michigan, is a guy that doesn't ever seem to fall to 25 in these mock drafts, but he seems to fall to 20 in all of them. You know, like he's in that range. And if they like him enough, is that a guy that you would, you know, trade an extra pick to move up five spots and go get? Nick's not afraid to do that. The safety name that I really like is Malachi Starks from Georgia, who's in that range. We know they like Georgia guys. Pretty swarmy guy. And I'm with you. Like, secondary is, that's a position you can get, you know, your four or five best guys on the field in some way, you know?
Yeah.
I like that
a
lot.
So the 25th pick is interesting because it's the guys, especially that we're bombarding everybody with the names from all these different mock drafts. I feel like a lot of the fan base, or at least sports radio listeners and whatnot, are going to be, there's a really good chance they're going to be acquainted with whomever the Texans select.
Yeah.
To the point where if they take somebody who's not one of those positions, there might be some crestfallen dreams just based more so on the position need than the actual player themselves.
What would the reaction be if Ashton Jeanty, the, I believe, Heisman runner-up this past year from Boise State, who was, I think, inarguably in the conversation for best player in college football, and I think arguably the best player in college football last year, who's going anywhere from like 10 to 20 in most mock drafts. What if he was the best player on the Texans board at 25 and they went with him?
He just fell because he was a running back?
Yeah. What would the reaction be with them taking Ashton Jeanty there?
All the buzz, by the way, is with the Bears right now with Ashton Jeanty, because he sounded pretty bubbly and bouncy after his meeting with them this weekend.
It'd be a great pick for the Bears.
Yeah. I think people would be stoked about Jeanty.
Do you?
I think so. I think now the first question that people are going to say is like, what about this offensive line? What about this offensive line? And understandably so. But I think the fact that Nick Caley has talked probably more about being passionately committed to the run game than Bobby Slowick did in his entire time here in Houston. That Bobby would claim that they spent a lot of time on the run game, but he never felt like a run game type of OC. I think that then people are going to be concerned about the offensive line, but remember, we still have free agency too. We'll see exactly. And I do think just about every guy on that offensive line has better play in him with a better offensive coordinator. But people are going to be skeptical of that until they actually see Nick Caley do what he can do. Oh, okay. If you do a Pender poll immediately after the Texans select Jeanty at 25, for one, people are going to give the Texans a lot of credit, I think, for pivoting and taking a guy that they thought wasn't going to be available at 25. So they would say, all right, well, look, people are bullish on Jeanty. They're going to say, well, what are you going to do? You're just going to pass him up? No, you got to take him. That's a great place to take a running back, is at the back half of the first round. Classic move of teams that are contenders or really close, and they just got to get put over the top.
Yes.
Joe Mixon ain't getting any younger. Yes, I think 68% of Texans fans, by the next morning, you'd have to give them 12 hours to think about it, would be all in on it.
I think free agency factors into all of it. How much of your needs have you filled? That people view that 25th pick being your mechanism to do that? How many of those, what have you done with the offensive line? I think maybe even more importantly, what have you done at running back in free agency? Because, again, I think you and I are of like mind here. Like, Joe Mixon's really good. Damian Pierce can't get on. You know, they say they love him, and he gets, you know, before the Tennessee game, he had like 21 carries all season long. You know, like, they're for a long period of time, until the very end of the year, Cam Akers had more carries than Damian Pierce did, you know, and he was traded in like week six. So if you're still rolling with the same group of running backs and he's sitting there, Genty, at 25, that I think that factors in too, you know?
I think it's kind of a, you know, obviously it's Nick Caserio's move, but I think he would be doing it with input from Nick Caley. And maybe it's a little bit of a big cojones move by the Texans on the offensive side of the ball and thinking, yeah, no, we're just flat out, we're going to be better this year, and it's worth adding a running back to the mix. I don't think it happens.
No, I don't either.
For one, I don't think Genty falls all that way, but also I don't think it's the smartest thing to do. It's just something that I could get myself excited about.
It's a sexy toy, man. It's a sexy toy for sure.
What did I just walk in on?
We were just talking, you know, Seth and I do the mock draft injection every day at 7:45.
I'm glad you got the joke.
Okay. Well, I could have named some sexy toys. We do the mock draft injection, and the names are repetitive. You know, at this point, Tyler Booker is, you know, two out of every five do every week. He's the guard for Alabama. It's a lot of the same. At the very least, it's the same position group.
Right.
Most of the time, it's offensive lineman, the occasional wide receiver, and with a sprinkling of Kenneth Grant. If we were talking about if there were other positions that got selected, or maybe even specific names at 25 that didn't fall in those acute areas of need, which ones would get fans excited? And I brought up,
y'all are speaking my language,
the Loveland kid from Michigan, the tight end.
Yep.
I brought up Malachi Starks, the safety. I think safety would get people excited. And then I threw Genty out there as sort of a wild card in the whole thing.
For sure. No,
if they drafted Genty at 25, how would In the Loop feel about that?
I would be thrilled.
You would?
I'd be thrilled.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd be a little less thrilled, but I mean, I just love the player so much. Like,
you do love the player. Oh, you brought him up Ashton a lot during the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Ashton Genty. Yeah. I mean, it's easy. Like, it's not, I'm not saying anything that would make me any level of, like, incredible scout. It's just fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But yes, he would be a fun player. I think I have also gotten on board. I heard you guys talking about him earlier, Nick Emmanuel. Like, first and foremost, if there's a Nigerian player, I'm going to root for him. That's just how I am. But also, like, him testing off the charts. Like, these are the things that are built for. This is why the Combine is built for us, the viewer, so that we can have moments like this, so that we can attach ourselves to a player that we otherwise wouldn't care that much about. And, yeah. So,
40 times.
Yes, 40
Shuttle
times.
Shuttle times.
Vert.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he gets up.
Bench press.
And, I mean, the tape's not bad on him.
Vert,
The tape is pretty good on him, too. Like, I don't think he had a touchdown scored on him at South Carolina this year.
Oh, the safety. Yeah. That's,
Yeah, I guess the knock on him is consistency.
Sure.
He's not consistently swarmy. There's times where he's just not, doesn't look like he's all that lustful for violence, you know? I like guys who are basically, if they'd grown up in different circumstances, would have been serial killers, but because they had the right guidance along the way, they learned to temper it and just leave it out on the football field.
Guys that you might need to hire a staffer just to follow him around, make sure he doesn't do anything stupid.
No. Technically, no. You can't be the one that's gonna like turn them around. They have to have been. They've got those tendencies, but they were tamped down by a good upbringing. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the Texans have a lot of guys on defense who have violent tendencies, but they learned how to manage them from their home. You know, I don't want to be the football team that's gonna, you know, like, all of a sudden give the kids an upbringing that they never had. I think the Texans have identified those guys.
Will Anderson knows exactly when to get super duper violent.
That's a great example.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. What's the question of the day, boys?
Oh, I got a good one. We got a good one for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can take credit.
What did you used to do really well that you just can't do anymore?
It has sex.
Well, that too. There's our first answer. It has to do with the rodeo cook-off.
Oh, okay.
I can't do it anymore.
You can't, huh?
Can't do it. I went to the rodeo cook-off.
You did?
But I got there
did
at
you
8.
Party your ass off?
Big time.
Yeah.
I got there at 8:30 a.m.
Before 1 p.m.
And I was gone by 1:30.
Oh, you're one of those breakfast parties.
Dude, it was awesome. It was the greatest
day party
cook-off ever for me.
To our Odyssey tent then?
I gave the tickets to Reggie.
You did? Okay.
Because we had our anniversary party that night.
You did? Oh, that's right. It was your anniversary this weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like for me, it's actually drinking. Mm-hmm. And like obviously that's true for a lot of people, but I feel like I'm still recovering from just, I didn't even drink heavily when we were in Florida, but I drank more than I typically do, and I feel like I'm still hungover from it.
Yeah.
Whereas Sean's like a 19-year-old, and so I feel a little bit of shame about how strong Sean is. Sean's not waning in his strengths at all.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, I lean into it for sure. Mine is my capacity to talk to people on the phone.
Oh, really?
I have very little capacity and patience to talk to even people that I like.
Yeah.
Nay, love on the phone.
I'm glad that you use nay.
Yes. I just don't enjoy it. Whereas,
it's an inconvenience.
Whereas before the phone was with us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the day. Reggie, gather around here. And back in my day,
I'm trying to sit cross-legged right
it
now.
It was and Seth and John would both attest. It was a privilege to get a telephone in your room when you were a teenager.
Yes, sir.
That was a big step.
Yeah. Or a devoted line, I'm assuming.
Yes,
as well.
Your own phone. It started as a line adjunct to your main line at home.
Yeah.
And then you realize,
or even 10, 12 years ago, like Sunday mornings, I would call my mom. And have a nice 20, 30-minute conversation.
Yeah, see, that doesn't sound as delightful.
Tuesday, Wednesday night, whatever, I'd call my sister. Hey, what's up?
Man.
What's going on? How you doing?
I feel like an old soul right now.
I got like five people.
I don't talk to anyone, and I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, my capacity.
I used to call my grandparents a lot, but, you know, they're all dead. So,
condolences?
Yeah, I would still call them.
Did you hear their voicemail greeting?
Yeah.
That's actually very sweet.
That's my capacity for talking on the phone. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. All right, boys. Well, we're out of here. The floor is yours.
Good to see y'all smiling faces.
It's good to be back, man. It is really nice to be back. We had a great trip. Really nice to be back.
I'm very happy that neither of you were consumed by iguanas.
Yeah,
for a moment there, I was concerned.
It's close. Yeah. Seth was the hero we all needed. He was out there scaring them all away. Seth, antibodies to you.
Antibodies and a prostate exam to you.
Thank you. I need the antibodies.
I got one Friday.
An antibody. You did?
I thought of you.
Good to hear.
That's never the one that you want to hear.
Yeah, that's
never
awful.
What you want to hear.